Hello, and welcome to the Aquarist Podcast, a tropical fish podcast. My name is Randy Reed, and I'm your host for this podcasting deep dive into the fascinating world of keeping tropical fish. Let me first start out by saying that I love podcasts. I find them to be one of the best mediums for immersing yourself into an area of interest and really building up your body of knowledge in that subject. Personally, I listen to a wide range of podcasts, from economics and personal finance, all the way to Star Wars and Nintendo Switch news and game reviews, so I kind of listen to it all. Listening to podcasts, to me, it's one of my favorite ways to pass the time commuting on the bus to and from work. Podcasting is certainly something that I don't take for granted, and I'm always on the lookout for my next favorite series. So, having recently gotten back into keeping tropical fish, I naturally searched for related podcasts. And sadly, I find the current availability limited. I found one podcast in the tropical fish keeping space that is publishing regularly, and I do thoroughly enjoy it, so much that I hope to interview those hosts one day on this show. That being said, one series on tropical fish just isn't enough in my opinion. I believe that YouTube is driving a whole new generation of fish keepers into the hobby, and there's some really, really good personalities out there, and they're doing a great job to help share amazing insight that will help us all become better fish keepers. But there's still something about an interview-style podcast that connects with us on a different level than a YouTube video. And there are so many people involved in the hobby, whether they're retailers, breeders, showers, or just keepers, to not share their stories and insights through this format. So now you know my master plan, to publish a podcast where I interview people from every nook and cranny of our beloved hobby, and hopefully entertain and inform my audience along the way. So without further ado, let's get into the first interview. All right, good evening, everyone. Today's date is Friday, February the 9th. My name is Randy Reed, and I'm the host of this new podcast, The Aquarist Podcast. Tonight, for our very first episode, for the very first interview to kick this off, I'm going to be joined by Eric Lucas. He's the founder and owner of BuyPetShrimp.com. He's a breeder of Caradina shrimp, and they are absolutely beautiful. I've had a chance to check them out on the website. Eric, welcome to The Aquarist Podcast.
Hey, how's it going, Randy?
It's going very good. And actually, I forgot you're also a competitor in international shrimp competitions. So definitely want to make sure that we still talk about that.
Yeah, definitely. I competed the first time this last year, and it was tons of fun.
Oh, good times. So yeah, before we jump into kind of what you have going on currently with BuyPetShrimp.com and the shrimp competitions, let's give the listeners and myself actually a little bit of a background in terms of, you know, how old were you when you first started keeping fish? What are your first memories? Kind of walk us through your tank progression and, you know, your bouts of MTS, multiple tank syndrome. So I'll let you go ahead and have the floor on that.
Yeah, no problem. I grew up in a home where there was always an aquarium. My earliest memories of an aquarium were having a live bearer tank, you know, when I was maybe 7-8 years old, with, you know, my mom helped me out with. And, you know, as they bred, we'd take them to the pet store. They'd give us, you know, 10 cents credit or whatever, and I could use that money to buy a new filter or whatever. You know, and then after that, you know, my mom had a big Aranda fish tank. My brother and I had an axolotl tank. As I got a little bit older, you know, my parents moved into saltwater, and then there was really no freshwater tanks in the house. And then, after I didn't have tanks for a couple years, and then after I graduated from college, and moved to Sacramento, my parents had a 60 gallon tank that they were no longer using. And I asked them if I could have it, and they said, sure. And they, they were living in Oregon at the time, and they brought it down one time, and I set it up and once again did live bearers and everything, you know, mollies, guppies, and did that for a while. And then, you know, I moved out of that place and took the tank down and didn't set another tank up until I moved probably about 4 or 5 years later when I moved out to the area where I currently am. And that was once again mollies, guppies, live bearers was what I knew, you know, and is what I enjoyed. And after about a year, I was just like, you know, this is getting kind of boring. And by chance, I just went on eBay one day and I saw red cherry shrimp. And this was, you know, 8-9 years ago. And at the time they were like, you know, $9 a piece or whatever, where now they're like, you know, $1. But I was like, well, you know, I'll give these guys a shot. So I grabbed them, threw them in my tank and, you know, basically immediately loved them. Within the next few days, I was on Craigslist giving away all my guppies and live bears out of the tank. So they'd leave the shrimp alone. And basically from that point, I've been all shrimp. You know, I went from one tank, you know, to, you know, within a few weeks after that, having 2 or 3 tanks. up to 20 tanks. And, you know, now I think now I'm at like 38 tanks, and I'm completely redoing my shrimp room right now. And when it's all done, I'll have about 60 to 70 tanks.
Wow, that is awesome. Multiple tank syndrome hits you very, very hard. And it's
yeah, and you know, it's easy to do that when you enjoy it. I wouldn't be where I was if I didn't enjoy breeding and keeping shrimp and the shrimp keeping community. But I was pretty fortunate. One of the first shrimp that I ever kept ended up breeding very well, and they were a very, very popular shrimp. So I was able to sell, literally thousands of them for, $8 to $12 to $14 a piece that completely paid for my whole hobby, my whole business, everything. So I was pretty fortunate that way.
Wow, that is awesome. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned live bears. I'm actually looking at a hang-on back right now, one of the Phoenix hang-on backs, and I've got my first ever 4 guppy fry that are about 3 days old. This is super exciting for me, of the first fish I've ever been able to successfully breed. Granted, I've never had guppies before until about 2 months ago, but this is the first time, so it's pretty exciting for me. And also in the tank that they're actually attached to, I do have cherry shrimp, so this is the first time I'm keeping shrimp. In another tank, I've got ghost shrimp, and I will say, I wish I knew about shrimp a long time ago, because they're fun. Like, they're really cool to look at. They're really cool to watch. They're absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, looking at the shrimp that you have on your website, I mean, I didn't even think shrimp could look like that. Like, they're phenomenal. So, I mean, if you could go in and talk a little bit about the shrimp that you maybe have on their website, or if you want to talk about maybe the orange blue-eyed tiger, I'm definitely interested about that in those.
Yeah, that's the shrimp I was talking about that I started with. Well, I started with cherry shrimp. I'll kind of explain how it happened. You know, I started with cherry shrimp, and obviously, like most things, as you get something and you like it, you research it more. And I saw these orange-eyed blue tigers online, they were on a website, and they were like $40 a piece. And keep in mind, I still have a hard time at this point spending $40 on a shrimp. So back then I was like, no way, that's not going to happen. And I was on Craigslist one day, and I got lucky. I came across the guy in San Jose, which is about 3 hours south of me. And my brother lived in San Jose at the time, that was selling orange-eyed blue tigers for like $8 a piece. So I got a hold of the guy real quick, make sure he still had some, got a hold of my brother, said, hey, if I can get this guy, to meet you somewhere, will you go meet him and then meet me halfway? Would you do it? And he reluctantly did it, but I got like 10 or 12 to start. And I threw them in that same, it was a 55-gallon tank, obviously a huge tank for 12 little shrimp. And they just started breeding like crazy. I went from 12 shrimp. You know, that's the thing people notice with shrimp is, it's exponential, their growth. If you're doing things right, you'll go from, 10 to 100 to 300 to 800, it just happens so fast. And, they loved the tank. And I think what helped a lot was the fact that it had been a running tank for a year plus with, live bears in it. Everything was filtered well. It was a fully matured tank. And they just really took off. And, I got to the point where I had so many in a 55-gallon tank that I had to start selling them. I post on forums, and at this point, those were like the hot shrimp in the United States. So, there wasn't too many people with them. Or if they did have them, they could sell 10 here or 10 there, but they didn't have the supply that I had. So I'd go on and post, every day, hey, I got 10 packs of orange-eyed blue tigers for, $120 shipped, and I mean my email blow up and they'd be sold in 12 minutes.
Wow.
And it was a daily thing for a long time, and like I said, that's how I was able to build my business. That's how I was able to add all the new tanks, add all the new shrimp. I like to trade with fellow hobbyists. Instead of trade money for money, I like to trade shrimp for shrimp. So I'd trade 10 blue tigers to this guy for 20 of these, boom, start a tank of those. Trade, 15 to this guy for 5 of these that are a little more expensive, start a tank of those. And that's basically how I went from, 1 to, 20, 25 tanks at that time was literally 100% paid for by those blue tigers.
Yeah, I love that barter piece that you're bringing in here, where You know, I think once we stop being kids, we lose that, you know, natural desire to barter and say, hey, you know, I've got this, you've got that, let's swap. Like, you know, we by default, we work jobs, we have careers, and so we pay with our, you know, we pay with our currency that we have in our pocket. But, you know, I would love to be able to tag along where, you know, you're bartering or you're saying, hey, I've got 10 of these shrimp, I want to trade for, you know, 15 of your shrimp. And, you know, as you guys go back and forth on who thinks their shrimps are more valuable. And so, you know, that's really fascinating.
Oh yeah, there's definitely people that overvalue their shrimp. You know, it's like anything. If it's yours and you have a, you know, an emotional attachment to it,
sure,
you think it's worth tons of money when it's really not. But the other good thing about it too is, you know, some people are like, ah, no, I don't want to sell them. I don't want to sell them. They go, well, I'll trade you these for them. It makes them think again, well, okay, well, maybe I'll trade you, you know, so that, you know, it gives you access to other shrimp that way as well. You know, maybe people that normally wouldn't be inclined to sell them, but they see what they could get in return by trading, then they go, oh, okay, you know.
Yeah, see, that's what I need to get into, because then my wife won't kill me when I have to buy new things, right? Like, if I'm able to trade with what I'm already breeding, like, that's off the books. Like, that's awesome. That's a win-win.
That's the key. If you can pay for your hobby, if you can pay for your hobby with your hobby, then you're way ahead of the game.
Yeah, so okay, Eric, so help me. I'm a fledgling red cherry shrimp breeder. All right. Let's talk. I mean, maybe if you want to go back and talk about that, you know, 60 gallon tank where they just blew up, and we're breeding like crazy. I mean, talk to me about substrate, talk to me about plants. Like what can I do? What can people listening to this that are like, yeah, you know, I don't want to start my own business, but I want to trade at my local fish clubs and whatnot. Like, how can I become a prolific breeder and just give my shrimp a really good home? So what would be some tips on substrates, plants,
well,
parameters?
I mean, my first advice on Neocaridinas would be try to start your colony with shrimp that have been homebred, not imported. The Neocaridina that are being imported into the United States right now, a lot of them have you know, a Scutarella, Vorticella, or the main disease that we're seeing is Elobiopsidae, which is like a green protozoan that grows on their underbelly. And it's really unsightly, and it ultimately kills the shrimp. So if you can get homebred shrimp, then you're not having to worry about any of those problems right off the bat. So you're going to be more successful that way. Besides that, I think, you know, for a Neocaridina, you're going to want a pH that's above 7. So you don't want a substrate that's going to lower your pH, like a Amazonia or something like that. So you could use play sand, pea gravel. You could even, you know, if you've had a planted tank going for a long time and the ADA, you know, the Amazonia is not buffering anymore, you can use that. You go that route. You know, you definitely want to, obviously, you need to cycle your tank like you would for fish or any other critter. But, you know, I think one of the keys for shrimp is to let the tank mature, not just cycle, but let it mature. Let algae grow on the walls. Let, you know, throw a couple of leaves in there and let them start decomposing. You know, you want to mimic their natural environment. You know, they come from, you know, mountainous streams that are pretty clean. You know, there may be some leaf litter in there and some rocks and stuff, and that's about it. You can, you know, mosses are good. You know, I saw a lot of boos, you know, any plant is compatible with them. You know, it gives them another little area to eat stuff off of. You know, I recommend, you know, Indian almond leaves or some other leaves in there, just because they don't eat the leaf itself, but the leaf itself, as it breaks down, you know, little microorganisms eat off the leaf, and then they, in turn, the shrimp in turn, eat the little microorganisms. So, you know, the main thing is, you know, and obviously you don't want fish with them. If you put fish with them, you know, I always have the argument with people. People are like, well, you know, my beta does great with cherry shrimp. Well, your beta may do great with cherry shrimp, but the other 40 people that tried betas with cherry shrimp, the beta destroyed all their cherry shrimp.
My beta ate my ghost shrimp. So that guy gets a mystery shrimp as a buddy. That's about it. Or a mystery snail, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I mean, ghost shrimp are much bigger than these shrimp, you know, and they're much meaner, and they have like pinchers on the ends of their hands, and they can actually kind of somewhat protect themselves. You know, shrimp have spent, you know, millions of years at the bottom of the food chain. They see a fish circling above them. Hey, like I tell people, okay, so let's say you're going to put fish with your shrimp. You know, shrimp have been at the bottom of the food chain for who knows how long. If they see a fish circling above them, they're not going to come out and be out in the open, and you're not going to be able to see them and enjoy them. They're going to spend their whole day hiding, fearing for their life. You know, if they do have babies, most of the babies will be eaten by the fish. You know, so to me, you know, if you just don't care and you just want to throw some shrimp in there and you don't care whether they get eaten or not, then that's one thing. But if you want to have a successful, prolific breeding shrimp tank, you know, I would say, you know, stay away from fish. You know, you can do otocinclus, can go with shrimp pretty well. And obviously, like I said, you'll hear other people say, well, this fish did great with them, this fish did great with them. You know, generally speaking, I would say no fish except for maybe an otto or two. I mean, put snails with them, you know, all that type of stuff. But if you want to have a successful shrimp tank, I definitely no fish.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting point that you bring up, that even if the fish isn't one that's going to necessarily eat shrimp as a part of its diet, or even if it's starving for that matter, you know, maybe just that presence of something swimming above the shrimp.
Yeah, the shrimp don't know. You know, the shrimp don't know, hey, this is a friendly fish, I'm going to come out and do this. You know, they're going to go with their natural instinct of, hey, I'm hiding under this rock for the next 2 years until I die.
Yeah. And as far as like plants, like what would be your top one or two plants that you would say, you know, if you're going to do this, you know, no fish, you know, you've given some recommendations on substrates, maybe some play sand. What about, you know, one or two plant recommendations for us?
You know, I sell and enjoy Boost quite a bit. You know, it's a little more expensive of an aquarium plant. But it's a real slow grower. You know, you don't have to get in the tank constantly to trim it and do whatever. You know, the shrimp aren't picky about whatever plants in there, whatever. They'll hang out on the leaves and pick off whatever they can. You know, mosses are good. A lot of people definitely use mosses. You know, the thing with mosses, those, they tend to grow pretty quick and you got to trim them back. And if you're, you know, if you have a lot of baby shrimp in the tank, well, a lot of the babies are going to be in that moss. And then if you, you know, if it's growing too big and you need to trim it back, you know, you may lose a few babies in trimming it and, you know, moving it out of the tank. A lot of people use, Anubias. You can use like guppy grass. You know, some people do floaters like frog bit or Salvinia, you know, to help suck up some of the nitrates that may appear in the tank. You can really use anything with shrimp when it comes to plants. I haven't heard of any plant that, you know, is fatal to them, or, you know, unless it's some kind of like carnivorous plant. But besides that, you know, that you could put just about anything in there with them.
Yeah, you know, I've been looking for guppy grass. I mean, that just seems like something really cool that I'd like to try out, but nobody around me has it. So, yeah, I gotta.
You know, the best place, obviously, you know, with Facebook now and all the Facebook groups that are specific to everything, you know, like one of the ones that I like to go to is USA Freshwater Shrimp and Plants. I think it's getting close to about 20,000 members, but you can just go in there and just be like, hey, you know, does anybody have a little guppy grass they want to get rid of? And you'll probably have like 10 people be like, yeah, just send me, you know, $8 for shipping and I'll send you a Ziploc bag full of grow so fast, you know? You know, that's the good thing about, you know, being in a group with fellow hobbyists is a lot of people, you know, they're just willing to help you out. You know, it's not about making a buck or two. It's about helping a fellow hobbyist out.
Yeah, looking at your site at the Boost. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Boost.
A Boost? I'm looking at the Godzilla. I like
that.
Yeah,
that's a popular one.
Even just the name Godzilla is drawing my attention. So you may see an order from me.
Yeah, it's a little bigger leafed one. The most popular Boosts right now tend to be like the mini leaf, like the mini coin that you'll see on my site, where the leaves are like microscopic. They're really small. You know, a lot of the smaller leaves are popular, but, you know, they're all pretty popular. I mean, there's so much variety and different colors and different leaf structures and different leaf sizes. It's basically never ending.
And it probably just makes the shrimp pop too. You know, you've got this nice bright red or blue or whatever color shrimp you have, you know, a pattern shrimp, and just having that green background will really make the color on that shrimp pop.
Well, yeah, you know, some of my best, well, I'm not a real good photographer, but some of my, better shrimp pictures that I like are a picture of a shrimp and a leaf, you know, because it kind of gives that contrast.
Instead of a bare bottom tank.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about now. All right. So you're kicking out red cherry shrimp like crazy. You know, you're moving them on Craigslist, and how do you get into the shrimp competition circuit? Like, how did that come about?
Well, basically, you know, for the United States, shrimp is a new thing. It's 2 years ago was actually the first competition ever in the United States for shrimp, where in Europe and Asia, they've been going on for, you know, 10, 15 years. You know, we're definitely behind them a little bit when it comes to shrimp, but basically, it's a pretty tight-knit community. You know, I mean, I've been around it for about 8-9 years now, so I know just about everybody. They were setting up for this, you know, the first year, 2 years ago, and they, wanted some volunteers. It was in Chicago at the Aquatic Experience. They wanted volunteers that, you know, could talk to people about shrimp, because most people, you know, when they go to the, when they see the competition, this is their, and we're talking about, these are aquatic people. These are people that do cichlids and whatever. They see shrimp, and it's the first time they've ever seen shrimp. You know, freshwater shrimp that are colorful. You know, everybody's seen a ghost shrimp or whatever, but, you know, to actually see, like, the equivalent of, like, saltwater colors in a freshwater tank, for most people, it's the first time ever seeing it, and they're absolutely amazed by it. But, you know, they wanted volunteers, and, you know, like I said, I've talked about shrimp. I talk about shrimp all day, every day, basically, to anybody that'll listen to me. So I volunteered the first year, helped out with that. It was great, you know. Tons of kids, tons of adults, everybody just mesmerized by the shrimp. And, you know, my throat hurt at the end every day from talking to people so much about them, because there was a real genuine interest in them. And then, you know, so then this last year, I actually did a booth at the show with a couple shrimp-related business owners. We did a booth. So I didn't volunteer, but I entered some shrimp. And basically, the company, when people ask, I'd assume it's similar to like a dog show, where, you know, there's different categories. You know, there's one category for Neocaridina, which would be like your cherry shrimp or your, you know, orange neos or blue neos. And then I think there was maybe 11 or 12 categories total. And then from that, you know, you have like tiger shrimp, like where the orange-eyed blue tigers would be. And then you have, the most popular category for the hobbyists is the innovative category. That's where, you know, new breeds, new patterns, all that come up. So I entered my orange-eyed blue tigers, which basically is what I'm known for in the United States. I mean, basically, if somebody has orange-eyed blue tigers, chances are they got them from me, or the stock originated from me. I entered those for the first time. The first year, I didn't enter anything in the show because I was a volunteer and everything. This year, I entered, and I got first place for my orange-eyed blue tigers in their category. And then I entered what are called ghost bees, which are kind of like a crystal red shrimp, but all white. Or they're clear with white pattern instead of where red would be on a crystal red shrimp. And I got second place in their category. So it was great. I loved it. Obviously it's nice to place, but I just love the atmosphere of it as well. You know, it like I tell people all the time, you know, you could go to the grocery store, you could do whatever, you know, and go for a whole year and you'd never run into anybody else that knows anything about shrimp, that wants to talk about shrimp. But you go to, you know, the, you know, Aquatic Experience and, you know, there's all these fellow shrimp keepers there. And it's just basically a get together of shrimp people talking technique and, you know, oh, this shrimp looks great. Or I like this one better. You know, it's something you don't get an opportunity to do except for really that one time a year, you know.
So talk to me about, how do you present the shrimp? Like, are there rules, like everybody does glass bottom, everybody does a certain substrate, or is it, hey, aquascape like crazy and try to get, you know, some points in the aquascaping plus your awesome shrimp? Like, how does that work?
So basically how it works is the organizers of the event set up all the tanks to be exactly the same. Whether it's a gray substrate, a black substrate, they all have a little pad of moss in them. They all have the same filter. They all have the same light. Everything's the same. And then basically you need to turn in at least a group of four shrimp. And, obviously you want those four shrimp to look as similar to each other as possible. And then you want them to be nice looking shrimp as well, have nice pattern, you know, whatever category you're in, whatever you're going for, you want them to have a nice size. You don't, if you enter shrimp that are, you know, half the size of adults, you'll lose points. You know, that's one of the scoring things is, you know, the size of the shrimp. Another scoring thing may be, you know, the pattern on the tail. Another scoring, you know, it varies by category and different shrimp exhibit different things that you would judge. But, you know, like those leg color, how much all four shrimp look like each other. All that stuff gets graded. And then normally, like at the USA competition, I believe there was four judges. And not every judge judges every category. Usually if there's four judges, they'll do like maybe two or three judges per category. Or like in Germany, when I judged in Germany, there was, gosh, I think like 12 jury members. So each of us only graded like three of the 12 categories. We did like, I think it was three of the 12 categories or so. So every competition's different, but generally speaking, they're all going to have the same setup. You know, you don't want to give any advantage or disadvantage. People are already upset if their shrimp don't win or they think mine's better than this. You don't want to give them any other reason to be like, well, his tank had this and mine didn't. That's why he won, you know?
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, that sounds, that is just a glimpse into a world that, you know, for me, the whole idea that there's gorgeous freshwater shrimp is so new. And then on top of that there's this, you know, I don't want to say intense, but there's definitely a competitive circuit of shrimp showers and breeders, like, is really, really awesome. And I guess my next question would be, so the aquatic experience this year will be in New Jersey. Will there be shrimp competition there, and will you be in attendance?
Yes, that is the plan. I will. We're expanding our booth size. We're gonna we're adding a few more businesses that are we're gonna I think have six total businesses together, and we're doing a really large booth. And we're going to have a shrimp display within our booth, hopefully. We'll be located right next to the shrimp competition. And I'd assume, I'll probably enter another group or two. It should be a lot of fun. It'll be, it's nice to, as much as I love the aquatic experience being in Chicago, every year, or it has been the last few years, it's nice to get to a different area where you have new people seeing shrimp for the first time. A lot of people that, were in the Chicago area, it's not that far of a flight and it's not super expensive, just fly over for a day if you can hang out,
Yeah. I mean, I definitely, this year I'm going to try my best to make it out there, regardless of, how successful this podcast is or if I'm going to be doing any interviews from there, but just as a hobbyist, like, it sounds so cool. I just geek out on all sorts of conventions and stuff like that. Anytime I can go out and, check out the hobbies that I'm interested in and, maybe spend a little money on some swag or something like that is always cool. Now shipping the shrimp to get there, like, how stressful is that for you?
Honestly, for me, it's not very stressful at all anymore. I mean, early on, I worry about every single package that I sent out. But I've shipped so many now, and I have a method that I think works pretty well. I mean, I have very, very, very few, dead on arrival claims. I mean, like, maybe one out of every 150 boxes I ship of shrimp, somebody says, hey, one died. Every once in a while, somebody says all of them died, but it's so rare that, basically all I do is, I pack them in breather bags. I use what they call blown insulation. You get it at Lowe's or whatever. It's like recycled paper products. Mm-hmm. And it comes in like a brick, and you have to like break the brick up and everything. But I just, I layer the bottom of the box with that. I put them in the breather bag. I tie the top. I rubber band the top as well. Then I wrap the bag in a newspaper, sheet of newspaper as well. Set that on top of the insulation that I've already packed in there pretty tight. You don't want them moving around, and you never know where, your box is going to, fall off a truck or get kicked by an employee, or you never know. So pack it as tight as possible. So if something like that does happen, the shrimp aren't going to shift. So I put it in there and then just pack more of that insulation around it, pack it in tight, and send it on its way.
So are you going down to UPS the morning of your flight? You're sending them out, or, I mean, are you timing it?
No, I just ship USPS. If I'm taking shrimp to the competition, I just check a bag and take them with me.
Oh, cool.
You can put them in the check bag.
Oh, that's awesome. The airlines will allow you to check a bag of luggage with some beautiful shrimp in them.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You can even take them. I've never done it, but, you can actually carry them on as well from what I've heard. You just have to, show them to, the TSA when you get there and say, hey, these are my shrimp. I'm taking them on the plane with me, and they'll like swab the bag or do whatever they do to make sure it's okay. But yeah, then they'll let you take it in a little box and put it on the plane.
Wow. If you didn't learn
anything. Yeah, like I said, I've never done it myself, but I know numerous people that have.
I feel like if you knew everything about shrimp, I mean, that right there, the fact that you can check a bag or carry on shrimp onto a flight is pretty cool. So that's one of the many things I'm taking away from this conversation of things that I've learned. So So you'll be doing the booth at New Jersey this year. You'll be entering in the shrimp competition as well. What else do you have planned for bypetshrimp.com or just yourself as a hobbyist? Like, what's on the horizon for you as far as projects go? And maybe I'll tease it a little bit. I did read a little piece on you about traveling to Thailand. So if you want to talk about that, that sounds pretty awesome.
Oh, to Taiwan. It'll be
Taiwan. Sorry.
No problem. Basically, I'll kind of run through what's going on right now, and then I'll get to that. Right now, I'm redoing my shrimp room. Like I said, I'm converting. I'm going to some smaller tanks instead of larger tanks to kind of give me more room. Basically, I have a bedroom in my house that when I bought the house 3 years ago, first thing I did was rip the carpet out, ripped anything of value out, and set up my shrimp room.
Nice.
So luckily, I have that. But I'm redoing that. That is still about 3-4 months from completion because you can only do a chunk of tanks at a time because each new set of tanks you need to have time to cycle and grow biofilms and algae and everything. You can't like tear it all down in one day, rebuild it, put the shrimp in the new tanks, and they're fine. You know, you got to do it section by section.
What size are you? So you're downsizing from what larger size to what size?
Right now, most of my tanks are 25-gallon cubes.
Oh, okay.
And I'm downsizing to some custom-made, like 9.4-gallon tanks that have a little bit. They're almost a 10-gallon, but they have a little larger footprint than your traditional 10-gallon. And I wanted the larger footprint because shrimp spend most of their time on the bottom of the tank. You don't need, my 25-gallon cubes are 18 inches tall. Well, 90% of the time, the shrimp aren't even up in that top 12 inches. So you're basically wasting. I mean, it's nice to have extra water volume, to keep things clean and keep parameters stable. But you're basically wasting, at least half your tank on area that they're never even going to go to. So you can fit more tanks if you downsize, don't have as tall of tanks, but keep a nice footprint. You can have more tanks in the same area and have more different kinds of shrimp.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense.
I saw that in Germany. When we were in Germany, quite a few of the setups we saw and the setups they were selling at the events were a certain kind of rack that's built to your exact specifications. And I actually ordered one and had it sent over here. The first rack that I did, I was able to fit 18 tanks on it, and it literally wastes like no space. You tell them, hey, I want 6 inches clearance above to be able to reach in and catch the shrimp. I want it to be, this is the size of my tank. I want it to be 6 tanks long by 4 tanks high. And it's all aluminum and like little plastic inserts. It's kind of like a big Lego type set, and you got to put it all together. And you literally don't waste any space, which is compared to, buying a rack at Home Depot. And it's, it sticks out 8 inches further than you need. And, you don't have, it's to your exact specifications, which is very helpful if you're trying to fit a lot of tanks into a small place. So I did that for the first rack. So later this year, I have actually on the 2nd of March, I believe, I'm speaking to the San Francisco Aquarium Society on shrimp keeping, obviously. And then the following night is the Sacramento Aquarium Society's meeting, and I'll be speaking to them as well. I'm also, open to the idea of if any other place wants, me to come speak on shrimp. I'm willing to do that. I went to Washington, D.C. last year and did it. I'm always available for that. I know I have other stuff going on this year. We do our annual, I do a bypet shrimp, it's kind of like a barbecue / meetup where I invite fellow shrimp keepers from all over the United States to my house. It's kind of a weekend event, the actual events on Sunday, but a lot of people come out early on Saturday and we go out to dinner Saturday night. I think last year we had about 45 people. Here at the house, and some people obviously stayed in the hotel, but a good chunk stayed here. Had people from New York, Massachusetts, North Carolina, Tennessee, Northern California, Southern California, Florida. People came from all over. It was really, really awesome last year, and we all had a really good time. And, we do a big raffle where everybody brings an item, and we had one of the people that actually judged in Chicago this year lives in San Francisco, Andrew Wayne. He brought like 10 boxes of shrimp that people could win in the raffles. It's just, it's a good time. People don't have to pay to get in. They don't have to pay for food. We cover all that. All we ask is that you bring a raffle item, one item at least. And then we always use a raffle, and everybody will put like 5 or 6 things. We get sponsorship from companies, donating staff, dinner lady donated a tank. And then a lot of people that show up own their own companies as well. They bring products. So it's basically you just show up and you leave with your a box of free stuff. It's really good for the hobbyist. So we have that going on. That's usually early June. I'm going to go, I believe I'll be in Minnesota in April for the Minnesota Aquarium Society, I believe. I may have that wrong. Whatever their group is, they're having their big annual swap meet. And I was asked by one of their members to come out and share a booth with them and try to sell some stuff at that. And then I believe the following month is their area's shrimp barbecue meetup they do. I'm going to try to make it to that. Florida's having their meetup in March. I'm going to try to make it to that.
And just to stop you real quick, Eric.
Go ahead.
Just to let everybody know, I heard this before we started talking, but this is your full-time gig, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
If the listeners are here and you've got a full schedule, this is your life and your passion. So.
Yeah. No, I definitely wouldn't be able to do this if I was working, the 9-to-5. I had a 9-to-5 type job for 19 years up until last year. I had the same job, I enjoyed my job. I enjoyed everything about it. Obviously I didn't like having to work 9-to-5 and making money for somebody else and not as much for me. But I was fortunate enough, to be at a point in my life where I could take a couple years to invest 100% of my time into this business and try to get it to the point where it can support me. So I took that opportunity and, I'm about almost a year in. It's been almost a year since I left my, since I left my other job, and I don't regret it at all. Everything's been going great. The last few months, the trajectory of the business is looking like it's definitely going to get to the point where I can support myself and, my fiance. We can still pay the bills and all that with me doing this. Obviously, traveling a lot more this year, which obviously is a big expense. But with the travel, you hope you go meet new people and it opens new doors for you and it kind of pays for itself in the long run. And then hopefully in the summer, we'll go to Taiwan for a week or so and hang out with Vin, who I just actually recently started importing his higher-end shrimp to sell in the United States. Him and I have been friends for a couple years on Facebook, and I've carried his products for about a year, his shrimp for about 2 months now. But we're going to go to Taiwan and go hang out with him and his associate, Mr. Ho, and, kind of learn more about shrimp keeping, hopefully, learn some new tips and tricks, as well as just kind of get away and have a nice little vacation.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic to be able to go to a place like Taiwan, take care of business, with your business being gorgeous shrimp, learn from somebody that it sounds like he's kind of a, like, this is the guy, right? Like, this is one of the guys in shrimp breeding that you want to be connected with.
In my opinion, obviously I'm a little bit biased because I carry his products and his shrimp, but I think he is right at, he is either at the top or right at that top echelon. He's, other people that are, really involved in the hobby, think he's top 3 breeder in the world. So I agree with him, and to top off, he's a really nice guy. He's always willing to help. He's always willing to give advice. He's not super secretive. You see it in a lot of this hobby as well as other hobbies where the people that do well are super secretive about everything. They don't share any of their insight, any of their experience. He's the complete opposite. He wants to see us all succeed. He came over to Chicago for the aquatic experience and hung out at our booth and sold some of his shrimp. And he commented numerous times about how the USA – shrimp breeders and shrimp businesses like myself and the other businesses, how we all cooperate. It's completely different than Taiwan. In Taiwan, it's 100% competition. It's, you don't share anything with anybody. You don't tell anybody anything. You're doing your own thing. And in the USA, it's the complete opposite, where we help each other out. Like, there were 4 of us that shared a booth together that are all basically vying for the same customer. But we, you know, for us, it's more about, you know, spreading the hobby. And, you know, to me, you know, having a united front and having new people in the hobby see, hey, people get along here. You know, it's fun. It's, you know, it's about teaching people how to do it. And, you know, I always look at it like, you know, sure, I could, you know, not help you out and sell you $50 worth of stuff and they'll shrink down and then you leave the hobby and never come back. Or I can invest some time, make sure you're on the right track, sell you those $50 in shrimp, and you're addicted to the hobby for years and years and years to come. You know, I'd rather do the latter, you know.
Yeah.
Other people out there are more about, you know, just, hey, give me your money, like, here's your shrimp, good luck. Where with me, it's more, you know, I try to help people be as successful as possible because, you know, this is my livelihood now, you know. The more successful shrimp keepers and hobbyists we have, the better for me.
Yep. And I think just, you know, from the stores that I've been to, I think the more successful ones or the ones that aren't shutting their doors, they're the ones that they're taking that extra time to not just be friendly, but to really ensure that you're being successful and, you know, getting away from the model of, hey, here's some fish, oh, they died, here, come buy more fish. No, like they want you to be really successful with those fish and enjoy the hobby and, you know, breed if you want to breed, but have really healthy fish and just really enjoy it. So to hear the same thing.
Oh, yeah, you have to have, you know, people don't have unlimited funds to spend on a hobby like shrimp keeping or guppies or whatever. Most people, you get one shot, you know, to help them be successful. And if they're not, they leave the hobby, you know, and I don't blame them. I don't have an extra $100 a month to spend on shrimp every month. Well, I mean, why would you keep spending $100 on shrimp every month if they're just going to die? You know, at some point you're going to be, I'm done with this, you know?
Yeah, excellent. So Taiwan, that sounds like it's going to be phenomenal. Maybe once you get back from your trip in Taiwan, you and I, we can reconnect and you can just share your experience about being over there. I mean, that sounds like it's going to be an absolutely fantastic time to learn more, you know, make you be a more prolific shrimp breeder and really, you know, help you to bring even more awesome shrimp to the U.S. market. And so that's another thing for the listeners. Like, the more successful you are, the better it is for us because you're giving us even more opportunity to purchase, you know, gorgeous shrimp that are healthy, that are bred in the USA, that, you know, if you didn't take that leap of faith and quit your 9-to-5 and do this, like, you wouldn't even be able to spend the money to try to get those shrimp. So, you know, for me and all the other shrimp breeders out there, you know, thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. Like I said, I love this hobby. I don't have any other hobbies. I don't collect stamps. I collected baseball cards when I was a kid or whatever, you know. This is my hobby, is shrimp. So, you know,
shrimp
to be able to turn it into
a
business, you know, it makes it even better. You know, it some parts of it are more stressful, obviously, with it being a business, but, you know, it's nice to enjoy what I do every day.
All right, Eric. Yeah, fantastic. So I definitely thank you very much for your time, for connecting with me and the audience on your experiences, your background. If you could, before you leave us, like, what's one or two tips to reiterate for the, you know, again, the beginning shrimp keeper out there that just wants to maybe not so much breed, but just have really healthy shrimp. So what's one or two pieces of advice you'd like to give?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously you want a mature tank. You know, in a lot of forums, you'll see people go, oh, my tank cycled, I'm adding the shrimp tomorrow. Or, you know, a cycle is definitely important. Obviously, your tank needs to be cycled. But I think it's just as important to, you know, and there are products out there that help you grow algae in your tank and biofilms. You know, shrimp are scavengers. That's what they do all day in the wild. They just go around and pick at the substrate. They pick at leaves. They pick at, you know, plants. Whatever's in front of them, they pick at it and try to get any food they can off of it. So if you let your tank mature and you have algae on it, I know people don't like algae on their glass, and I always try to take algae off the front of my glass so I can see into the aquarium, no problem. But leave the algae on the sides and the back, because, I mean, that's like a buffet for the shrimp and the babies. You'll notice, you know, when the babies are born, basically they don't move much for the first week. So they hopefully there's a food source real near them, or they won't make it. But that's why you want a mature tank with, you know, biofilms and algae everywhere, so they will have something available to them. And there's also products that you can add that do that as well. But I would say for sure you want a mature cycle tank. That is really important. And the second thing would probably be starting with, you know, the best quality shrimp you can afford. You know, I understand that not everybody can, you know, especially if they're new to the hobby, is going to want to spend $10 on a shrimp or $18 on a shrimp. But, you know, thankfully there's, you know, like the USA Freshwater Shrimp and Plants group on Facebook. You can go on there and just be like, hey, you know, I'm starting with shrimp. My tank's all ready. It's been running for 6 weeks. There's algae growing. It's cycled. I'd like some just regular cherry shrimp, and people sell them for like $2 a piece, And like I said, when it comes to the Neocaridina, which would be, like your typical cherry shrimp or, your blue dreams or, your yellow shrimp, I recommend to be most successful, I think you should start with homebred shrimp. The imported shrimp come in with a lot of problems. They've been packed hundreds in a bag, for multiple days. They've flown all the way across the world. Then they're transported for a few hours to get to the new person's tank. And the parameters are completely different in that tank. And then they get used to that. And then they're shipped to you. And it's a lot of stress for a tiny little animal, So, if you go homebred, it's basically just shipping from them to you. And that's the only stress they're going through. So I think it sets you up to be a lot more successful.
Yeah, excellent pieces of advice, Eric. And lastly, how can people get a hold of you, find your products, give us your website? Are you on Facebook?
Yeah, my website's www.bypetshrimp.com. You can contact me through there. There's even a little chat thing where if you're looking at products and you have a question, it'll ding on my phone and if I'm asleep, I'll try to wake up and answer it. Or, if I'm just up doing my daily things, and I'll answer it. You'll find me at, USA Freshwater Shrimp and Plants Forum on Facebook. I check that quite often. I think it's the best group on Facebook for, the United States hobbyists. There's tons of information, tons of people willing to help. The administrators, they do a really good job of keeping it pretty drama-free, which is good. You don't see that too often in a lot of Facebook groups, but they tend to, stop any drama that starts. And, it's about the hobby. You can message me there. I'm on Facebook, just Eric Lucas, E-R-I-K-L-U-C-A-S. My logo is my profile picture for the business. I spend most of my day chatting with fellow hobbyists, people, like I tell you, the typical day, sometimes my fiance gets upset because I'm on my phone all the time. But on a typical day, I may get, 10 messages from people that I don't really know, but they have questions about shrimp. And I feel it's my duty to do as much as I can to help them out, within reason. Obviously I got to go to bed at some time, or I got to eat dinner at a certain point, or, my fiance may give me the look like, hey, put the phone down. But generally speaking, I'm pretty accessible, and I try my best to be as helpful as possible.
Yeah, Eric, definitely just from this conversation, I can tell that you are knowledgeable. You're definitely helpful. And for being the first person to take a leap of faith and, sit down and dedicate 45 minutes to talking with me on a brand new podcast, I definitely appreciate it. So thank you so much for your time.
No problem, man.
Yeah. And I hope I make it out to New Jersey. And if I do, I'll for sure be coming up, and we'll be meeting in person, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. We'll have some beers.
Yeah, there you go. Have a good night, Eric. Thank you.
Yeah, you as well. No problem.
So there you have it, folks. First interview wrapped up with Eric Lucas. Awesome guy. Check out his website, bypetshrimp.com. There really are some beautiful shrimp on that site, and he's got a lot of really cool products on there that's really going to take your shrimp game to the next level. I certainly know that I could use the help on the shrimp game, that's for certain. So yeah, first episode, first interview, tropical fish keeping, and we talked about shrimp. I do intend to interview people that will talk about fish, but thank you very much for tuning in. If you have any suggestions, please go to aquaristpodcast.com. That is AQUARISTpodcast.com. And you can email me aquaristpodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear what you thought. I mean, was it good? Did it suck? Did you hear too much of my breath on the microphone? Never done this before. Looking for feedback. I want to make this better. I want to make this something that I can bring once a week and just really value your input. So thank you very much.